We are in Revelation chapter number 18. Revelation chapter number 18 tonight. Revelation chapter number 18. Going to read the first three verses, and you'll see we're going to talk about the Babylon the Great is fallen. And we're going to look at that, and we'll get through, I think, a majority of the this chapter here this evening. Revelation chapter 18, verse number 1 says, "And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxen rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, once again for tonight. Thank you for this passage of Scripture. I pray that you would give us understanding in it. I pray that you'd help the things to be highlighted that you would want to highlight and brought forth. And God, I pray that you just lead and guide in this time. And give us wisdom, Lord, as we live in these days. These are very tempestuous days. They're very trying times. And yet we know that you abide faithful. And God, you still are saving souls. You're still, God, you're with us. We thank you for that. And we know this period, the tribulation period, has not started yet, but we know it will soon. And we look forward to Christ soon coming in the rapture. And then, of course, the things that will follow leading up to the thousand-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ here on earth. God, help now, I pray, through this time and through this scripture tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in Revelation chapter number 18. Take my old jacket off. But it's been hot out, hasn't it? Very hot. Wonderful. Amen. Praise the Lord for AC. It did. Yeah, it sure did. Yeah, we needed that. Yeah, it did. Yeah, it's been a while. Amen. Amen. All right, Revelation 18. Now, this first verse, really didn't do a whole lot of study here. I'm going to put some more study into it just to be sure on it. But it talks about another angel. We've talked about the different angels that have been brought forth, or at least through the different bringing forth the vials, those that were, you know, in the temple, all that. And here it doesn't specifically say that that's where this angel would come from, but it does say having great power, and it says, "And the earth was lightened with his glory." Now, that's an interesting phrase. I want to spend some more time there, but I didn't for this particular study, but I will. But if you have any thoughts on that, please let me know. But that's a very interesting thought there. And it says, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils." Interesting. Babylon the great is fallen. Now, from chapter 14 now on into 18, we're going to find a couple different chapters that actually talk about the fall of Babylon. And we're going to just jump back and pick up the text that's given in Revelation 14 and in verse number 6. And this is where we start to see that language. And it's going to be with the three angels that are flying. So after the 144,000 Jewish men evangelists, once they're gone off the earth and the two witnesses on the streets of Jerusalem are gone, then we find God leaves a witness here, but it's not in man from what we can tell. It's with an angel that flies around. And if that doesn't get your attention, right, in that time frame, I don't know what will, but an angel will fly around and preach the gospel. But there's actually three angels, and one of those, the second's actually saying that Babylon has fallen. And this is leading up to the vials being poured out, the vials that contain the wrath of God, and leading up, of course, to the Battle of Armageddon. And so Revelation chapter 14, verse number 6 says, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying," so we have the one angel going forth, he's preaching the gospel to all people, all inhabitants of the earth, everywhere, every nation. And then the one following says, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wrath of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That's a very interesting thing. Now the third angel follows and saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. And so very interesting. Someone talking about the mark of the beast and all that, we have this, just sometimes people treat that as so flippantly, like, boy, if you do this, you might have by accident taken the mark. You just don't see that in Scripture. Everyone that takes the mark will know what they're doing. And just to be sure, God is going to have an angel flying around to let everybody know not to take it. Amen? I've not seen an angel fly around yet telling us not to take the vaccine or anything else. So we're good. Amen. That's not the mark. Does that make sense? Going to read a lot of stuff out there, and not just that, but other things. It's not the mark. It's not. Amen. And so we have a lot of things in Scripture that gives us clues about it, not to mention the fact that we won't be here when that happens. Amen. Nonetheless, we find that there will be great warning from God that tells people not to do it. Don't do it. Angel flying around saying don't do it. Probably a good idea. Go ahead and listen. Amen. And that's there. So, but Babylon, that great city it talks about, is fallen. It says Babylon is fallen, verse 8. That great city. And it talks about she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Flip over to Revelation 16. Revelation 16 and verse number 17. So it's mentioned in Revelation 14, Revelation 16, Revelation 18. In reference to Babylon is fallen. It says in verse number 17, Revelation 16, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. So there's seven angels, seven vials. This will be the last of these vials being poured out. And it says, there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. So if it's from the throne, that's referring to Jesus Christ. He's saying it is done. We covered that, how that's likened unto it is finished when he was on the cross and what was necessary to be done for that time frame. Him doing, fulfilling all righteousness so that we can be born again. His righteous blood was shed. He's fixing to then yield up the ghost, go into the grave, resurrect 3 days later, take that blood and offer it on the mercy seat. That part was finished. What was done, the purpose that he came, finished. And now we see a similar saying here. That last vial is poured out. This is the last judgment. He says, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And this is interesting. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Now, when you start studying Babylon, remember, I've been trying to really stress this. I hope you're getting it. That Babylon started way back it had been like 606 BC, the prophecy, as far as the Jews being brought in, and then 586, then Daniel starts to prophesy from in there when the Jews were in captivity. That Babylon, the Babylon that took the Jews captive, that was the beginning of the beast that we talk about in Revelation. It's a governmental structure. And that governmental structure started with Babylon. And then there was an image given. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. You can read in Daniel 2, Daniel 4, Daniel 7. You could read about Daniel's dreams, Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. And it's going to be of this image. And it's going to be of the whole governmental structure that began then, and then would go all the way until the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, the rock that crushes the beast, crushes the toes, the feet of the beast. And so that's one continuous governmental structure. And I've stressed that because I've been studying this. That is paramount. That absolutely, you must follow that as the key to understanding what's going on in Revelation as well as what we're seeing today. And so Babylon is fallen. So we're going to look at this one of two ways. Either Babylon is a specific city today, or Babylon represents the whole structure that began back in Nebuchadnezzar's day. And I believe the latter is right. Babylon, that city, has now spread throughout the whole world. And it has been divided into three parts. We're going to look at those three parts tonight, and that's very important. So the way I understand this is that that seventh vial is poured out, and it is done. What is done? The beast that began, the governmental structure that began all the way back with Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, is finally dealt with. By the way, not completely at this point, just like with when Jesus said it is finished on the cross. It was finished, but it wasn't quite finished. That makes sense. And so it was finished, but he was still on the cross and he was still alive. A couple things still had to be done, but it was all set in motion at that point. Nothing was going to stop it. It's in motion. He still had to die. He still had to go into the grave. He still had to spend those 3 days in the grave, resurrect, take his blood. That all still had to be done to actually offer that blood and truly finish what was necessary for the propitiation or the atonement, if you will, or the ability for the blood to be applied. Same thing here. It is done, but it's not quite yet done. The seventh vial is poured out. It is done. A couple last things we got to do to wrap some things up, to include the Battle of Armageddon at the very end, and then the separation of the sheep and the goats, which we haven't even talked about yet, which is the dividing of the lost and the saved at the end there before the millennial kingdom, and we will look at that. And so anyway, it is done. So the division here is very interesting in this text, and just praying over this and studying. The great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance. I believe that great Babylon reference is a reference to Babylon having spread throughout the entire world, and then now it is finally dealt with once and for all. And it says here, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. So the great city Babylon consists of all nations and all cities of all nations. I've been frustrated at times trying to figure out, what is Babylon? Is it the United States of America? I believe the answer is yes. Is it you know, where Babylon sat way back when? Yes. Could we say, you know, Israel is Babylon? Yeah. I believe the whole world, it's one world structure. And I've tried to show how the kings and all that moved to that. We've seen it over the last year that our world is operating in lockstep with each other. All nations are coming together. All governments are coming. All of this is coming together. And not only the governments and the kings, but then also religion is coming together. False religion is coming together. And of course, false religion began to be a part of Babylon. Babylon being the political structure, that's what started it. But after we get into Rome, right? We went through Rome, the Medes and Persians, the Greece, or Greece then was in power, then Rome. Those were the four governments. The image of Daniel, very clear. The dream was very clear. The prophecy spells that out. But then Rome actually was mixed with clay, iron mixed with clay. That would have been the bringing in of the religion, the religion structure that would have been brought into the government structure with Constantine around 313 AD. And when that happened, that's where you hear about the Holy Roman Empire. Before it was just the Roman Empire. Now it's the Holy Roman Empire. And since that started, that has not diminished. It has changed. And all of that kingdom now has been put forth into all the other nations, but it's all together as one. And that's what Revelation actually points out, is that the heads of the kings that are referred to as the heads, the seven would be complete, and then the Antichrist is the eighth who comes out of those seven. So it's the same structure, and so he's not presenting a new government. He's just going to be the head over what has already been established. And so you have the political Babylon, the religious Babylon, and now what we're going to talk about tonight would be the economic Babylon. And this is what's seen in Revelation 18:3. In Revelation 18:2, it talks about that Babylon the great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. And we'll look at that here in just a minute. But in verse number 3, it says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of fornication. That's already been stated, but watch how this continues. And it says, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth. Now, this is going to be the first mention of this, where now it's not just the kings, it's not just false religion. It is, remember, we've already looked at the woman riding the beast. We've already seen the false prophet, all that. So we've already dealt with that. We're not going to kind of rehash all that, but we've dealt with that pretty heavily. But now we're seeing the merchants brought in. And the merchants of the earth are waxing rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And so economic Babylon, this is the merchant. So not only is the woman riding the beast, or the whore riding the beast, false religion, but now we have the merchants riding the beast. They are getting rich off of the policies of the beast. And that's what we see here, Revelation chapter 18, verse number 3, that the merchants are of the earth, right? Not just of a city. And this is where we start talking about, what is Babylon? Well, if Babylon is the great Babylon and it falls, then, and there's a big, as we're going to see, this economic downfall, where is it? It's everywhere. It is around the world. It is the system that is really fueling the world right now, which would be Babylon the Great. And the merchants are waxing rich. It was hard to see this in a sense until more of recent years. But consider the merchants of the world today, especially those housed within the United States, but not just those, that have been used to bring people to the beast. Remember, it's all about the beast. And the beast is the governmental structure. The beast started with Babylon, and that king set up that political structure. That's the beast. Beast is government. And so and beast specifically referred to in the book of Revelation, Daniel, others, is referring to that structure that started with Babylon. It's been going all the way through. It still exists in our day. And it will culminate with the Antichrist. Think about Twitter and Jack Dorsey. You look at these merchants, and they're in business. And you think about how they have become very political. Interesting. Amen. Why are the merchants of the earth becoming political? Because that's where their money comes from. That's where the money is. That's what Revelation 18:3 is referring to. Think about Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, and everybody loves Facebook, all that. We can communicate, we can do all that. Well, just know that it is part of this merchant structure that's riding the beast. And now they're trolling info, and they're using it in many ways, and they're talking beyond. Matter of fact, I read an article recently, I might have stuck that on a bullet, I'm not sure, about how they're actually talking about doing a church, a Facebook church, and for all the religious communities to come in. They want to be able to host everybody's video stuff and all that. I'm thinking, you all that are connected with the beast, have at it. Amen. But all these churches that think it's just great putting all their stuff on Facebook and all these YouTube, all that, you can go ahead. Amen. And I know we put it out there in a way through Zoom. It's definitely a whole lot different than the other. But these merchants of the earth, you can't forget the fact that they're tied to the beast. They're tied there, and it's not going to get better. There's not going to be more freedoms given. There's going to be less and less all the time. Think about Bill Gates. If you read what he is for, he's for population control. He's for being less and less of people like you and me, of course. He is for all kinds of crazy, whacked out things. And we can laugh, we can smile, we can all that. I'm telling you, the merchants of the earth, this is the last piece of the puzzle before the Lord's return. This is the one thing, as we see in Revelation chapter number 18, that's going to come together. The merchants of the earth are brought in, and they are also riding the beast, and they are getting rich on the beast. And if these big companies that are being paid off by the government, by the way, why is the infrastructure bill so expensive in Congress? I'll tell you why. Because over two-thirds of it goes to special interest groups. Has nothing to do with infrastructure. Why was the COVID relief bill so expensive? All the multiple ones. I'll tell you why. Because it was like 10% of all of the trillions that were cut for COVID relief went to COVID relief. And Money was passed out around the world. Think about what just happened. 20 years ago, we had an attack on our soil by supposed terrorists that came out of and were trained in Afghanistan. Went on a campaign to deal with it, deal with Afghanistan and all that. 20 years removed. We just left Afghanistan and we left behind, get this, enough armament to include night vision, Black Hawk helicopters, enough ARs, get this, to fully equip a 300,000 person army. And we just left them a base with two 12,000 foot runways, just walked away from it and turned it over to who? The very people that 20 years ago hijacked airplanes and ran, if you believe that, amen, and ran into our, that's what's purported, into the Twin Towers. It is rightly said, the enemy is better positioned today based on what just happened in the past couple weeks than they were 20 years ago. They are more able, Al-Qaeda's there, they are more able to do what they were doing. Why? Because the United States of America just equipped them. Isn't that exciting? Say, how can that happen? Because the United States of America government is part of the beast. That's how. So what are you saying? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That all the governments, by the way, the whole, remember when Trump came, he was running, I don't know, wherever you think about him, he was talking about getting back to where, you know, we actually have some patriotism again and we're for our country. Remember when President Obama, he was president, he went on the apology tour, that was the big thing, where he went around the world and he apologized to everybody. I'm sorry that America has been the big bully and we've pushed our values on people and we've done all that. And he apologized everywhere he went. And he says, we're gonna try to whittle ourselves down, become less powerful so we can be more like y'all. That was the whole intent. And then Trump comes in and says, forget all that. We are gonna take charge of what we're involved in. And it was like within months, all the beheadings stopped, everything stopped over there, all the capturing of US citizens stopped, all of that under Trump. It just happened. It's a fact. Because everybody that tried, they got their house blown up. Their family got blown up. That's what happened. Even that big general guy in Iran, he'd been wreaking havoc for over a decade under Obama and even Bush and everybody else, El-Samanani Huni. And anyway, he was just going crazy. And all lo and behold, one morning, I think it might have been a Sunday, he's walking across the tarmac of an airport. And everybody's upset. And Trump said, I told you. That's the way it's going to be from here on. We're not going to take it anymore. So you wonder, say, why did everybody hate Trump so bad? Because he wasn't playing with the world. He wasn't joining in and funding extremism. Listen, I just heard a news or an anchor. It wasn't even an anchor. It was someone on a show say this. He said, it's easier to get weapons if you're part of the Taliban than it is if you're a citizen of the United States of America, and especially if you live in New York City. Think about that. They just handed them RPGs. They just handed them tanks. They just handed them all kinds of vehicles. Gave it to them. I know. So how does that happen? The beast. You got to think of it in this light. Or you'll really get messed up in it. Amen? And so the businesses of our world. By the way, our president just came out and said, we're not going to mandate vaccines, but I'm calling on all businesses to do it for us. How can he do that and the businesses not get mad? I'll tell you how. The merchants are also riding the beast. And if they'll ride and play along, they'll get their kickbacks in the bills that come out. All the billions are passed out all the time. Passed out like candy. That's how it happens. You say, why don't some states rise up against it? because the states get kickbacks too. And the states are made up of people that have businesses. All the people in the state house and all that, they're in the upper echelon of our society. They're the doctors, they're the lawyers, they're the business owners. That's why it's so hard to get anything done, because they're all riding the beast. And anytime someone tries to go against the beast, they're squashed. They are shut up. They are defamed. And they are run out of town, buddy. That's how it works. And it's not going to get any better. This is how it's going to run all the way until the very end, when finally Jesus Christ comes, has that last vial poured out, and deals with the whole structure, the political side of it, the religious side of it, and the economic side of it. Look over at Revelation 12, please. Revelation 12. By the way, the private company called the Federal Reserve Bank, you guys all do know that's a private company. Don't let it fool you, the Federal Reserve Bank. It was started on our soil, and now it is worldwide. It's a worldwide business, just in case you were wondering. Amen? Babylon, as prophesied through the image that Daniel brought forth, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, is a worldwide city. It is the city that's being prophesied that it has fallen. Three parts to the city, the political, the religious, and the economic sides of it. At the collapse, all these things are true. Let's look. I'm going to read from Revelation 18:2. You're in Revelation 12. Don't go anywhere. Revelation 18:2, it says, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." Say, how did that happen? Revelation 12. Revelation 12 and in verse number 9. Revelation 12, verse number 9. You think it's bad today? This is good compared to where it'll be at the latter end of the tribulation period. You think there's demonic activity today? There's nothing compared to what it's going to be like after the rapture and after especially the midpoint of the tribulation, which we're going to read about right here. Revelation 12, 9. "And the great dragon," that's the devil, "was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." So up until this point, access, like we see in Job, where the devil could accuse, Jesus Christ, our advocate, would represent, and nothing would go, but he would still accuse. Verse number 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." That's the saints, that's you and I. Verse 12, "Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the seal, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that that he hath but a short time." So what happens is that midpoint, there's a battle between Michael and the angels, and that's talked about earlier in Revelation 12. And at the conclusion of that battle, the devil, all his angels, lose all their access to glory, to heaven. They are cast down to the earth at the midpoint. It's at that point he knows we don't got much time. That's when all really breaks loose. Verse 13. "And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." Now that's referring to Israel and Christ. And he's going to persecute, meaning he's going to run after them. Remember, because at the midpoint of the tribulation, the abomination of that desolation was offered on the altar, and the Antichrist was found out. And the eyes of the Jews were open. They're like, whoa, 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 this guy's not the Christ. He's Antichrist. And that's when their eyes are open. They believe that Jesus, the Messiah, truly is their Messiah, Christ. It says a third of the nation gets saved in the day. At that same time frame, the devil's being kicked out of heaven, and he's come to the earth, and now, like a flood, he's going to rush after Israel to try to destroy them. He's not going to be able to because God is protecting them, and then he turns on any other believer that can be found to persecute them. Verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. That's 3.5 years. A time is a year, a time is 2 years, and half a time is a half a year, 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now, there's a lot of speculation about what that really is. Armies going after, maybe it really a flood of waters. No matter what it was, God will actually open up the earth, like with when Korah and the sons of Dothan actually were coming against Moses. The earth opened up, swallowed them up, and protected them in that day as well. So we've seen that in scriptures. And then in verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so the collapse of all three is what we're talking about in Revelation 18:3. The political structure, the religious structure, and the economic structure. And we see with that, in the midst of all of that, the world has just become, in that time frame, just this whole place is going to be the habitation of devils, of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Amen. It's going to be a crazy time. And then in Revelation 18:3, in the collapse, this also will be true. Revelation 18:3, all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. If you're looking for a nation that won't buy in, it ain't there. I've heard it said, Reagan actually said, this is the last bastion of hope. This is it. City set on a hill. This is it, America. It had great principles when it started, but it has all been brought into this structure. There really exists no place, I don't know of any other place on earth that exists that has a governmental structure that has not bought into the system. And part of that is because our country especially has been used in a great way as an economic powerhouse. And so what America has become is what's been called the breadbasket of the world. But that's been abused now. And you'll find if you look at all the different nations, all the different countries we send money to, it's most. And the reason that is that as the money goes out, now that nation is dependent. Same thing in our country. All the people now are becoming more and more dependent upon government money. And if someone's giving you $1,000 a month, you're going to like that person. Right? But that's what's going on now. If you have a few kids, you're getting somewhere between $5,000, $6,000, $8,000, $2,000 a month deposited to your bank account every month now. Right? And this is how it's working. That's how the enemy is taking over and bringing everybody into the beast. That's how it's done. And it's been going on. It is going on. All nations, this passage says, all nations have drunk of the wine, meaning they've become intoxicated, of the wrath of her fornication, the wine of the wrath. You don't go against that. There's a lot of nefarious things happening around the world for countries that try to stop, whether it's Malaysia, does some things, upsets some communities. Lo and behold, I don't know when the world happened. All of a sudden, airliners are dropping out of the sky. Whether it's Ukraine, what they were doing. I mean, you can go on and on and on, but the wrath comes from the world on them. And it's all done in a way that looks like, hey, this is good. But it's really just a structure to keep everybody in compliance, to keep everybody going along with the beast. All nations are ultimately fornicating with the beast. They're involved, they're intimate, if you will, with the beast. The kings of the earth this passage says, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. So the kings, the nations are, the kings are with the beast. And then it says, and the merchants of the earth are waxing rich through the abundance of her delicacies. They are also waxing rich. Now, I've heard for a long time that there is going to be a worldwide financial collapse. Here's why I disagree with that. I believe the pumping up of our financial systems is going to last through the end here. Because that's how it works. That's how the beast is able to keep everybody in control. And so the printing of the trillions, billions, trillions, all of that, zillions I'm sure will come. I don't even know what comes after a trillion. It might be a zillion. All of that is needed in this time frame to pay off all the merchants, all the people, all the nations. It's necessary. And so I don't personally believe that that's going to go away. There may be some small little collapses here and there. I actually heard the Fed talking about, he actually kind of smirked and said that the United States and their position as the world reserve, you know, currency and all that, he said that ain't going nowhere. And I believe they're right. I believe the United States has been used for that for all these years. It ain't going to be China. They're going to be a part of it, but the structure that's built, the structure that's here, remember, the financial structure is a United States structure. The creature that was formed on Jekyll Island is what now has spread around the world in that and has become part of the beast. And you can think what you want on all that. You can store what you want. You can do all that. But when you read the book of Revelation, it says that the merchants of the earth are getting rich. They're not getting impoverished. Now, there will be, in the tribulation period, some famines and things like that. But the merchants of the earth, the economic structure of the earth is going to get richer. It's going to culminate. It's going to crescendo. The power of government is going to peak. The power of religion and false religion is going to peak. And the economic strength of the world is also going to peak. When Jesus returns, the world would have been at the peak, been whittled down through the tribulation period, and in one last bastion of strength, they're all going to be gathered together at that last battle of which they will utterly fail. Everything has to be decimated from the image of Daniel, politically, religiously, economically. Everything has to be wiped out before Christ returns. And that's all going to happen at the end of the tribulation. With the Battle of Armageddon, it's all wiped. And what we read as well in our text, there is a worldwide earthquake that at the end levels the ground. I mean, absolutely amazing what the Bible says is going to take place. See, I just don't believe all that. That's fine. You don't have to believe it. I'm telling you, that's what the Bible says is going to happen. Amen? And say, well, that's pretty sobering. You're right. And you ought to study your Bible so you'll have a better understanding of it, buddy, because it's coming. Amen? Amen. All right, so what else does this mean? Revelation chapter 18, verse 5. It says, for her sins have reached unto heaven. And yes, I did skip verse 4, and we will come back. And God hath remembered her iniquities. The sins of her, Babylon. The sins of that whole structure. The threefold structure. Look at verse 6. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Who is that? That is the structure. That is Babylon. That is where people get to. That they don't need God anymore. They're queen. They're king of their own lives. They have it figured out. They don't need God, right? And so that's where it goes. I'm no widow. I don't have any problems. I don't have relationship issues. I'm good. I've not been forsaken. I have no sorrow. I'm good. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her. Who's her? The structure. When they shall see the smoke of her burning and standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. So I believe it is swift. The vials do it. It's the vile judgments that pour out that wrath of God. That's why I don't believe that's that whole 3.5 year period. I think it's towards the latter end. It's called an hour. And so it's a small time frame. And the final vials, there's already been havoc wreaked all around the world. And now this will directly affect the political structure, religious structure, and the economic structure of what is known as Babylon. The whole thing will break down in that day. Verse 11, chapter 18. Now, we saw just a minute ago the kings and all that, they're lamenting, it's gone. My cash cow is gone. I've, like Biden, I've been in government 50 years and I've been rich, made rich. Bernie Sanders, y'all ought to be in a, you know, you all ought to have nothing. You ought to have, you know, outhouses dig a hole, shouldn't have running water, no heat, no air and all that. But never mind my 3 or 4 houses. Don't worry about that. And don't worry about how I've never worked an honest day in my life. I've just worked government. Don't worry about how now I'm a multimillionaire. Hello? John Kerry, who has, the airplanes he has and his carbon footprint. Hey, don't emit any gases. Only use one little square of toilet paper. We got to preserve. All the while, he is absolutely living deliciously on this earth. Amen. Had he talked about the fake Al Gore, amen, him going around and talking all this garbage, amen, and going back to his little Taj Mahal, amen. All I'm saying is this is what's going on. Exactly what the scripture is telling us, amen. They're living high on the hog, amen, at our expense and the world's expense. It's their cash cow. I imagine these people get into federal government, the Nancy Pelosi's. I mean, she has to have a big bankroll to do all those facelifts, amen. But the point is that, and if that offends you, I'm sorry, amen, but it's true. Anyway, if you look at these people, I bet they're laughing like crazy going into the little back rooms and they're talking about these bills that they're pushing through and so that all of their cronies and all these things and all this money flows right back to them. They're laughing when they're voting on the $3.5 trillion package. They're just, with their calculator, figuring out how much is going to come into my account from all this. This is what's going on, and this is what the Bible has prophesied would happen. And the day that it all collapses, amen, that all the makeup's going to run off the faces of these gals that have been deliciously on it, amen. And all the different things that they've worked on to put themselves in a position to just have money flowing in like crazy, like it's Monopoly money, amen. They're going to lament and mourn and hate. It's gone. It's gone. That's what the Bible says is going to happen. And it's not just government. It's the merchants. Look at verse 11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. Who's her? Babylon. Babylon, great Babylon. For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. It's gone. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls. Whoa, whoa, whoa. If the whole world collapses in economic upheaval, nobody's buying anything. It doesn't happen. It ain't going to happen. Not until this point. Amen. Fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments, frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves. Oh, I guess slavery's not eradicated. By the way, it's not. There are more slaves in America today than there ever have been. Why aren't we talking about that? The old critical racism theory. Why aren't we talking about all the slaves that exist today? They're not just black. They're every color. And there are young people. And there are women that have been sold in slavery, all and young men, all over our nation. We are like one of the leading nations in slavery today. It's the truth. It's happening all over the world. Slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Be looking for a bunch of psychiatrist couches. Verse number 16. And saying, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and all and as many as trade by sea stood afar off. They're still trading. They're still working the system. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? They cast dust on their heads. By the way, the reason it can't just be one city funding all this is one city doesn't. We have a world economic system now. The whole thing burns to the ground is what it's, I believe what it's saying. The dust that they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Now, what is our takeaway from this? Look at two verses. Look back at verse 4. Verse 4, Revelation 18. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues. Interesting. Verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. When Babylon is destroyed, it is totally destroyed. Remember those two verses we just read. Let's finish this chapter out, verse 21. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all, gone. Not made good again. What do you call that? No restoration. No, I was going to say rehabilitation. No making it better. No taking the system and making it to where now it's workable. It's gone. Before Christ will come and reign, that will be gone. Christ is not riding on what man built up in government. There are those that actually believe that. That man gets better and better and then hands off to Christ when he comes a perfect place. Perfect government. A perfect religion. It ain't happening. Look around. It ain't happening. The Bible doesn't speak to that. Amen? It says, verse 22, and the voice of the harpers and musicians and of the pipers and trumpeters shall be heard, watch this, no more at all in thee. Now, we're going to see this phrase over and over. We saw that Babylon will be thrown down. Verse 21, it says, shall be found no more at all. And now we find these others will be no more at all in thee. No craftsman, and whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. In thee, that's the key. In who? In Babylon. Does that mean from this point on there'll never be crafters, there'll never be musicians? No, no, no. Not in thee. Nothing will ever happen again in thee. We get all upset about the Rothschilds and all these different people, you know, that have this structure. Don't worry, it will come to an end. This is where it ends. It ain't going to end because we pull the blanket back and show the world what's going on. And here's what happens when good people get into government. They get in there and they realize it's a million times worse than I thought. You think about like when Trump got in and he talked about, we're going to drain the swamp. If you drain the swamp, nothing's left. It ain't going to happen. It wasn't just the Democrats that were against Trump. It was everyone that was riding the beast. And that's almost everybody. Does that make sense? In government. He can have these big rallies. And I'm not saying he's perfect. I don't think he's as connected. Maybe he is. It doesn't look like he is. He has these big rallies. All the common people come out and are like, woohoo! And somehow, some way, most votes ever cast for a president, somehow, some way, Joe Biden gets even more. Never campaigned one day. Well, maybe one. He kind of feebled his way up to the mic and all that. And they had about three or four people gathered together, socially distanced, of course, in cars. But he's in his basement the whole time, doesn't do anything, and Biden literally got over 10 million more votes than Barack Obama. And that guy was popular. He was very popular. All I'm saying is, something weird's going on. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying what it is. I have no idea. But I know this, the beast. The beast isn't going anywhere. It's going to keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And it's made up of all governments. It's made up of all false religions. And it's made up of the economics of our world. Ekonomos, the rule, the ekonomos is the something that runs the world. Amen? That's the way it is. It's just the way it is. It doesn't mean we lose hope. It doesn't mean that we get all upset. No, we just understand that's what's going on. These things will be no more at all in thee. The light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. Verse number 23. Later on in verse number 23. It says, the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride, no more people getting married, no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The political, religious, and economic three parts of the beast must and will be totally destroyed before the coming of Christ and the setting up of his kingdom. Last verse, look over at 1 Corinthians 7. You say, what should we do? Revelation chapter number 18 and verse 4 said, not to be a partaker of her, to come out of her. Revelation 18:20 told us to rejoice over the destruction of her. I believe this is how we should function in the days we have left. 1 Corinthians 7 verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possess not. What that's saying is that the point right now of life is not just to enjoy life. It doesn't mean if you're married, go get divorced. It doesn't mean forsake all. It doesn't mean if you have a job, leave it. It doesn't mean if you have a piece of bread in your cabinet, don't eat it. It means the main point from where we're at right now is not the living of life. The main point is that all these things are going to come to pass. All the while, we're called as a church to preach the gospel to every creature. These things are going to keep, we're on a fast track now. It's going to keep happening. And things are going to get so bad throughout different times of this that we're just not going to be able maybe to enjoy all that we would like to enjoy. It doesn't mean we give up. Doesn't mean we lose hope. It doesn't mean we get depressed. It just means we're going to be very focused in these last days on what's important and not lose sight of reality. Listen, if you don't have your hope firmly anchored in Jesus Christ, and you look at all that's going on around the world right now, it's depressing. If you've been in the military and you just witness what's currently taking place over there, I guarantee you, it's hard. That's going to be hard to watch. It's going to be hard to fathom. If you're in the military, if they're over there right now, can you imagine following those orders? That'd be horrible. But it's not just there. It's all over. Things are happening. You know, with all of the COVID stuff and everything else, and so much is that we question. If you're not careful, you're going to get drawn into all of these issues of life and lose sight of what's really happening. And that's what God is showing us. This threefolded beast, it's going to go down, but it's going to get stronger before it gets weaker. It's going to get a lot stronger. What should we do? Don't become a part of it. Right? Well, how do we do that? This verse tells us. It says in verse 31, "And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away." What do? We use what we can use, but we're not going to abuse it. We're going to use what we can use. Yeah, we still trade monetarily. We're part of that system. Yeah, we're still under the governmental structure. We're part of that. Yeah, we're still involved in religion, though not false religion, but we're part of these things. But we can't be part as in the beast part. We use what we can use as allowed by God, all the while we're doing his bidding till he come. That's how we do it. We keep a clear conscience before God and man. We sound the alarm. We do what we can do. We keep a clear focus. We know it's coming. We don't spread fear. We keep preaching Jesus, and we enjoy the ride until the ride's over, because it's coming. Amen? Yes.
Today, I was reading, I can't remember the word, but it was the same thing, and I got a call from a woman that wanted me to get with them, and I'll get or she said that she'll give me money, or I'll be able to have money and things like that. And I threw up on her.
You threw up on her?
Yeah, my bad.
Amen. That sounds good. Amen.
I don't mean that.
No, there's a lot of pressure. There.
That happened
a lot of,
today.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. As you look around and you see all these different things going on, the pressures increase on you to forsake your understanding of the scriptures, to forsake God, forsake Christ, join in. You younger people, the pressure's going to mount. It's going to be stronger and stronger. I think we're going to feel a lot of these pressures before the Lord comes. I don't know. Hopefully not. Don't let what you've been taught over the last few weeks leave you. It's all part of the structure. Started back with Daniel. It's going to get stronger and stronger until it culminates. End of the tribulation period. Don't get sucked in. There's an allurement. There seems to be a side that is. Remember, even John, who he's looking at all that, began to wonder with admiration. And the angel, which could potentially be one of the pastors there from early on. I don't. Anyway, almost like he slapped him and said, "What are you doing, buddy? Wake up! Don't be looking at that and saying that's something you're desiring. Get on, stop." I think that's the same place we find ourselves. The allurement will be there, but don't get sucked in. Amen? Come out of her. Be separate. Use what you can use. Don't abuse it. Let's do our job till Jesus comes. But man, if you can't see right now that this is on the fast track, you ain't looking, because we're there. Amen? All right. Any last questions real quick before we close? That's a real quick run through chapter 18. We could spend more time there, but I don't think we need to. So I think it all fits into what we've already talked about with the whole structure of the beast coming to a culminating point. And the economic side's included. Amen. All right. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this, your word. I believe, God, you've given us these things for a reason, so that we can better understand what's going on around us. And God, you've not called us to go run and hide. You've also not called us to ignore it. And to only focus on what we have going on in our life and let everything else run its course and forget about souls. God, you've called us to a task as born-again believers, God, and you want us to stay on task, even in the midst of these troublesome times till you come. And so, God, help us, Lord, to maintain hope and to keep looking for Christ to come as he parts the eastern sky. And God, we thank you for the word you've given. You've given us this because you knew we would need it in these days to maintain a proper perspective. And so, God, help us with this, I pray. And if there's anybody here that is not understanding or is troubled, I pray that they would ask the questions and maybe even spend time, even myself or someone that they trust in the scriptures here, so that they can have their questions answered and be stable and not destabilized. God, thank you, Lord, now for what you've done. We love you. We look forward to these events only because we look forward to the beast being destroyed. But God, we lament now for the souls of mankind that have turned from you. And we ask, dear God, that you'd help us to see a great reaping of souls before this day comes. Help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.